Hello, I'm Lee. I play drums in Camera Obscura.
I'm Tracy Ann, and I'm the singer in Camera Obscura, and I'm dressing down today. This is the first day that I've worn a t-shirt. I'm wearing an Essex Green t-shirt.
You're celebrating your 10th year as a band. Did you know that? Did you ever think it would come this far when you were playing in Gavin's parents' cellar?
Don't think I really thought about it when I was playing in Gavin's parents' cellar.
You didn't at all. You just said, we're playing music, so you had no idea that 10 years from now, here you would be being interviewed in your in your Essex Green t-shirt.
No, but to be fair, the whole band haven't been playing for 10 years together, and if we had been, then I'd expect us to be a lot better. We weren't all in that, you know, we weren't all there 10 years ago in a basement playing music together.
Been some changes.
So I imagine you miss John Peel more than most, since he really did play a pivotal role in the band's success, right? And you played his 65th birthday party, which was pretty amazing stuff.
Yes, we did play his 65th birthday party, and that was fun. It was a pleasure.
And it was so unexpected. I mean, everybody was, you know, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, yeah, it was unexpected. It was a shock to, I think, certainly every music lover in the UK.
But he really played a role in Camera Obscura's success more than a lot of bands, wouldn't you say?
More than a lot of DJs. He's always played us, and we've, throughout the years, we've done Peel sessions for him and been surprised that we've been asked to go back again and again and again. So
now, you only really, getting back over to this country, you only really started touring the US a couple of years ago. So why did you wait so long? Was it the signing to a good American label, to signing to Merge, do you think?
We only started touring recently anyway. Well, Tracy Ann had mentioned that the band's the lineups have been, it's been pretty consistent for the last 5 years, but we've only really been touring for the last three. So comparatively speaking, it just started all at the same time. We started playing Spain and we started playing the States, but obviously with Merge, they got us over here, and that was a good incentive for us to come here.
But your following here is way bigger than anybody would perceive, given the amount of touring you've done here.
Our following here has been great. You know, we're really happy that people turn up to the shows every time we come back, and we seem to be, you know, our sort of profile seems to be getting bigger, I guess, and that's nice.
So on the latest album, and I'm going to have real trouble here, so you're going to help me. You selected a very interesting producer. Help me pronounce his name. Yari. Help me on the second one.
Apalainen.
So what was it like working with Yari? Tell me about, because as I was playing, you know, one of the tracks actually off the latest single today, you know, one of the B-sides, I was just listening to the sound, and, you know, you have it's a timeless sound. So tell me what he did on this record.
I mean, he's pretty responsible for, I guess, the way the record sounds. Well, partly with us. I'm not saying it's all down to him. I mean, we would have made a good record, but I think he made us realise that we could push ourselves and be more brave about it, you know, and less reserved. He really did push us into shape and make us realise that we were more capable than we thought. And he just has great experience. He's a crazy little sort of music freak, and you know, he's a bit of a geek.
I don't know any of those people, any of those crazy music freaks. I know nothing about them.
He just loves music, and
that's helpful in a producer.
He doesn't pigeonhole, and he just likes sounds. So he's very experimental that way. And it worked out well.
And he took what we wanted to bring, and he, you know, he never let us really get away with anything too sort of corny or safe. He pushed it.
So was it his idea to really give the vocals that real, you know, I mean, the 60s, you know, classic, wonderful reverb that's on a lot of it?
Not entirely. I mean, he knew that I particularly was into a lot of 60s, sort of 50s, 60s singer-songwriters, or 50s, 60s female vocalists, you know, like Tammy Wynette and Patsy Cline and right. Skeeter Davis and all of that. And we were kind of wanted that, but we didn't want to just copy that. We did use old microphones and stuff like that, but Yari helped me push the vocals. You know, I think we both agreed, or the band and him, we all agreed that I was sort of playing it safe in the past and singing in a sort of comfort range, and he thought that was a bore, and I agree. And so he sort of pushed it by doing things like changing the keys of the songs to see how far you could take it. And I think the vocals are far more interesting than anything that we've ever done before.
I was boring as well.
He said you were boring. Start being more like John Entwistle.
I don't know. He just said the sound of the drums were boring in the old records, and I think
He was not afraid to come in and have an opinion.
No way.
We were receptive, so it worked. It worked because we were open to him as well. Yeah, we're not too egotistical that way.
Okay, so this is going to be a little turn to the left before we get into the music. But from your blog, Tracy, a couple of nights ago, Kisses were for sale last night in Portland. No one showed any interest. I'm quite sad about it, I must say. Oh, well, thanks to the mystery man for the flowers, love and kisses, Tracy Ann. So was that entry in the spirit of songs like Tears for Affairs?
It's just in the spirit of Valentine's night, really.
So what happened? You mean you offered, I mean, because then of course people, you know, respond and say, well, what exactly did she mean there? And, you know, I've got to act like People Magazine, even though I do a classy show, for at least, you know, because you're from over there and you're used to those news, the Sun and all those newspapers. We've got to go there. I didn't say, I didn't know, but, you know, come on, over there you do it even better than we do, so...
I just said it because we'd been talking about it the night before, about selling kisses. And
nobody took you up on it?
Well, I went downstairs after and I came...
Were you too expensive?
No. I would have done it for free.
I don't mean that in a...
No, I came back upstairs.
That's the moment in the interview that always happens. I wonder how many people know that Are You Ready to Be Heartbroken is a response to the Lloyd Cole track some 20 years later.
Most people do, but you'd be surprised at the amount of people who don't, especially music journalists, no offense.
But you're giving people a little musical education in addition to, you know, putting out pop songs. So, you know, it's very easy with a band like yours for people to say, oh, they're a pop band, and they're doing these friendly little love songs and whatever. But, and I'm going to get a little deeper into the next couple of things, but this is not just a pop band. You're actually pretty smart folk.
Mm. Some of us are.
Some of us are. Not speaking for myself.
It's a few thickles, but...
A few thick ones.
We're all right.
Then there's Dori Previn, you know, which, of course, you know, Husband Stolen by Mia Farrow, and wrote, you know, the breakup song Beware of Young Girls. There's a lot of heartbreak in the band these days.
Yeah, I mean, I think Dori and I sort of... really love her lyrics. They make me laugh, but they're also very sort of tragic and sad. You know, I think a lot of people don't really get it.
Is this a sad band?
Sad in a certain way.
Thick and sad?
Yeah.
At times everyone experiences sadness, so why you shouldn't really not write about it, or it's just weighs out good things. It's a contrast. I should be celebrated as much as any joy in life.
Yeah, I sort of get a bit annoyed with the fact that you're supposed to be, everybody's meant to be like happy and positive and stuff like that all the time. It doesn't always come natural to people, and it's like a constant sort of struggle.
So what film would you like to have a song on the soundtrack of, if you could pick any movie?
I don't know. I think we would secretly wish someone like David Lynch, or a Spanish director called Pedro Almodóvar play some music in their films, because we love their films. So anyone we admire, and those are just two of the guys out of many.
There's a quote on iTunes from one of your fans, and I love this, so I want your reaction to it. This album is adorable. It makes me want to snuggle with a teddy bear or ride my bike in the park.
That's the kind of fans we saw against.
Can you imagine?
Hope not. I'm trying not to, I don't know. That's good for them. If that's what people want to do to it, then...
What do you want them to say? I mean...
I don't want them to say anything. They can say what they like. They should be... honest.
But, I mean, do you want them to realize that this is that rock and roll takes many forms, and that this is indeed rock and roll?
I don't really think about it, to be honest. I don't want to tell people what to think or what to feel. If they feel something from listening to our music, or they feel something from coming to see us live, that's great, that's nice. I don't want to tell people that the song's about this and that's the only way they should see it. I hate that.
So after tomorrow you do LA, but then you head for Australia through Europe, and you're not home until April 21st, I guess, and then only for a week according to your schedule. So do you get homesick?
Sometimes, yes. I think the first couple of weeks here I was finding it difficult, but I'm actually getting into it now. You know, I'm quite happy to be away. I'm looking forward to going home, but you can't really take this for granted. It's quite a spectacular thing to do.
I think there's now and then things pop up that make you realise how amazing it is to do this. And we were in Mexico City last week, for instance, and
I never thought I would.
Exactly. So that's like something that pops up that makes you realise how much fun.
People are in Mexico City, like six. Yeah, 20 million people.
Yeah.
Of which a majority of them are living up in the hills and sharing electricity.
It was fascinating. Absolutely amazing.
What was it like? What was like playing there?
It was great. It was. I mean, it really. We really did feel like pop stars. I think for once, because people were screaming and crying and chasing after us, and they just seemed to have a really good time. And there's nothing better than looking out and seeing people enjoy themselves. And I know that sounds so corny, but it really is true.
Nothing corny about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't think we don't really take ourselves that seriously that we want to be like seen as like sort of tortured kind of, you know, like moping idiots or anything, and our fans to be like that, like the Smiths or something. So we quite like to see people dance.
I think I went through a period where I was very pessimistic about music and only ever listened to old stuff. And the past few years, in fact, after making our record and being in Sweden and meeting people and just actually getting a buzz from making music and, you know, seeing how you can sort of touch people and stuff like that. It was just, I'm very excited about new music.
Are there more surprise tracks to come on future singles from the album? Are there other things that you're going to put on B-sides? Because I know I just got that EP with some neat stuff on it.
Yeah, then are we allowed to say what will be in the next single? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could. I can't remember what it is.
Thanks.
Oh, hello, lawyers.
We've been doing a cover version in each of the 7-inch. At 7 inches, so the next one will be ABBA's Super Trooper.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
We recorded a couple of the guys recorded that for a radio session in the UK, and we just seemed to get a lot of emails about it for some reason. People really liked it. So we thought we'd record it properly, or just the way it kind of is, try to make it as simple as it could be. And actually, it sounds really good.
That sounds like fun. Can you imagine the video that could go along with that?
We probably won't make a video.
So the last thing that we do to fill out, because obviously we didn't talk for an hour, but it's a little trademark, and I think you of all people are going to have fun with this. We call it a musical sandwich, and what it is it's two of your songs as the bread, but then you can put anything in between that you want by other artists, and I will play it exactly as you ask for it, no matter what you ask me to play. So here we go.
Let's go for Amy Winehouse, Rehab is the song.
Yes,
do you know that?
Yeah, how appropriate, right? And who would have thunk between her and Lily Allen, right?
Well, let's go for Tammy Wynette, Stand By Your Man.
What with Donald, Where's Your Trousers?
Andy Stewart.
A guy called Andy Stewart. Yeah. Has got a song called Donald, Where's Your Trousers? And it's amazing. And we've been coming on to it a couple of shows, and it's really good.
All right.
Let's may as well tell the world about Dori Previn. Let's have The Lady with the Braid, one of my favourite songs.
Cool.
I'm blank. Oh, Midlake, maybe? Yeah, okay. Midlake song? Yeah. Which is that good? What's that one with the cool drums on it?
I can't remember, but off the top of my head, the title track, Van Occupanther by Midlake. Yep. Are they big here?
Just got the album.
It's
about 3-4 weeks ago.
Exceptional. I should really plug Victoria's band here, Taken by Trees, but I don't know, you won't have that. It's only on the website. I don't know if you can play it. If you can play a song by Taken by Trees. Lost and Found.
Okay. You're laughing. Am I going to like this, or is it just, or is it quirky?
No, no. Lost and Found is a song I wrote for Victoria Berg.
Oh, okay. I see what's going on here. There's a little bit of business going on here, isn't there?
Is that bad?
Tracy suddenly just got into the economics degree of rock and roll, didn't you?
I mean, I can't think. I've just been in the van. I've been listening to a lot of Blonde Redheads and a lot of Final Fantasy, so I guess anything by Blonde Redhead would be good.
Okay.
Let's go for Diana Ross, Old Piano. Let's Could Kill, because it's the current single. More business.
The business is back.
I really like Dori Previn. I like still, okay. I enjoy playing it still and like listening to it. It's nice.
Okay, so now pull.
The Lady with the Braid, then Dori Previn by Cameron.
You think that would work? You think that would be like a theme or something?
Iris Dement. Let the Mystery Be.
Okay.
And Anything Off the Cannibal Sea by the Essex Green.